declaring the salvation of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and as always, we're so grateful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. We consider it a great privilege, and we desire to see the Word of God go out, and that people, again, would be accustomed to hear biblical expositions, the truth of the gospel. It's so needed in our day, dear listener, and if you have at all benefited from this, if these are messages that have encouraged you, or if you desire to see these radio broadcasts continue, we do humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. All support will go to the production of these programs. And so write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Or you can donate now online, very easy to do, agradio.org. Again, that website is agradio.org. Well, today we are concluding our study in 1 Samuel. We have come to just a beautiful moment here in 1 Samuel chapter 7. Remember what's happened. 20 years, they have been hardened, Israel, in their sin. They hadn't seen it. They hadn't seen and enjoyed the Lord as they should, the blessings of the Lord. And because of that, it's just tragic what's happened. Now, after these 20 years, they have finally, we read, lamented after the Lord. They're crying, they're seeing, they're without the Lord. All of his promises don't seem to be coming to pass. And so now finally, they are ready for the word of promise to them. After Samuel sees their tears, he speaks. If you're returning to the Lord, put away your gods. They weep. They pour out water. They destroy their gods. And they are returning to the Lord. And this is repentance. Repentance is turning away. Here's the issue today. The issue of 1 Samuel so far has been, how can this just, how can this holy, how can this pure God dwell with sinners? I mean, how can he be with them and not consume them? Because Israel has demonstrated no understanding of his holiness. And I've said before, this is the greatest doctrine that needs to be recovered today in the church. The holiness of God. There's no sense of his justice, no sense of his being holy other, that he is transcendent in his radiant glory, dwelling above the cherubim, and that he does not cater to the whims of man. Well, here they are. They've wept. They've seen their misery. They've cried out. In verse 7, now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us. You notice this? As soon as they were at the point of returning to the Lord, their enemies attack. And this is what will happen. The minute that you return to the Lord in your life and you repent of your sin and you come after him, it is then that Satan will attack the strongest. And here's the real test of whether they were truly repentant. Before, they had tried to take things into their own hands. They thought they could just defeat their enemies by their own power. There was no prayer, no understanding, just presumption. They threw the ark right out on the battlefield as a super weapon. Now totally humbled, no weapons in their hands, they have no answers themselves, and they cry out to Samuel for a mediator to intercede for them. We need a savior. See it? They're in despair. This is the place when you know you've come to true salvation, when you've cried out to God for mercy because you see and you're despairing of yourself and your sin, realizing you have no way to be saved. So what happens? We left off with this yesterday. I love this. In verse 9, Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered. Notice what happened. Verse 10 is what everything is built to. Now, as Samuel was offering the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud voice upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them, that they were overcome before Israel. Dear listener, when did the deliverance come? See it? Here the enemies are ready to slaughter Israel. Israel has no weapons, no power, no confidence. They can't deliver themselves. They're completely at the mercy of the Lord. And as the Philistine swords are raised, right at that moment, Samuel offers up a lamb and cries out to the Lord. And right then and there, that all-powerful, earth-shaking, thundering voice of the Lord thundered down on the Philistines and terrified them with fear, a fear they had never known before. It was so devastating, verse 13 says, that the Philistines were subdued, and they never came into the territory of Israel again. And from that day, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. That, dear listener, is awesome. This is Psalm 18, isn't it? You ever wondered what happens when you cry out in fear because you're being attacked and you don't have the strength yourself and you look to the Lord for deliverance? In my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Do you see when the deliverance came? As Israel forsook their sin, felt their helplessness, it was the blood of the Lamb that, as our mediator, that brought about what Samuel said, if you are really returning to him with your whole heart, forsake your idols, and he will save you. That's what he did that day. Listen, dear listener, if there's anything that I've learned about the Christian life, it's this, that when I go through periods of darkness and harden my heart, when the Lord's hand falls heavy upon me and I finally see it, when his mercy comes looking to Christ, I receive renewed strength to go forward. And I see each day how he is fighting the battle for me. He will defeat that enemy for you. Let me say this again. Maybe some of you have been involved in sin for 20 years. Maybe some sin has had mastery over you or some long period of time. Maybe you've never really come to Christ. Maybe just like Israel, you're going through the motions and you're clinging to your idols. If you are one of the Lord's, don't be surprised if his hand is falling heavy upon you right now, and you have no peace in your life. You have no joy. Everything seems to be going wrong. The Lord cares enough in his mercy to come after his people, putting his heavy hand upon them that they would repent and come to him for deliverance. The question is, have you come to the point of verse 3? Listen to verse 3. It was 20 years, and finally they wept after the Lord. I miss him. I want communion with him. Do you pant after the living God? My soul thirsts for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? We often wonder, where's the deliverance from this mess I seem to be in? Where is strength for the sorrow I face? Let me ask you this. How much do you ever tell the Lord, verse 6? You know what verse 6 says? Verse 6? How much do you ever tell the Lord this, and I quote, I have sinned against the Lord. Ever? Do you ever bow down the knee and tell the Lord that? Did you just do it at the beginning of the Christian life? Do you do this now? I wish I could say, once you come to Jesus, sin is no longer a problem. But then I would be like Joel Osteen, right? The whole Bible shows us the struggle with sin all the way to the end. And that is why Jesus is telling us to come to Him. Humble ourselves. He will lift you up. There's a reason Jesus told this story. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank you I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here's the thing. Dear listener, let me be so personal here. The more you learn this about the Christian life, the greater your joy and peace and experience of deliverance from sin will be. The less you learn this, the more you will experience the heavy hand of the Lord. That's the mystery of sanctification. I love what one pastor says. Christians should learn that this is the way for us to enjoy God's blessing and help. Our spiritual growth and progress is always connected to a renewed passion for holiness. And you see, this is where this ends. Samuel takes a stone at Mizpah. He sets it up and he calls its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. Amazing verse. Ebenezer means stone of help. Samuel realized that day that the Lord had been a help for his people all the way. The Lord is ever working to bring his people to this place of renewal and refreshment in his grace. It was the Lord who had done this. He had been their help the whole way, even through the periods of darkness in their lives, dark periods of chastisement. And we see this only when we experience afresh his renewing grace in our lives. When you come to these periods of renewal and strengthening grace, you should remember it. It's an Ebenezer. It's a stone, a memorial, that God has been with you the whole way. Israel realized no one can stand before this holy God of Israel. There needs to be a sacrifice made, a sacrifice they had long kicked far and out of Israel. The righteous Lamb is Christ. Jesus Christ is our stone of help. He is our Ebenezer. And we have a memorial in the cross of His grace to us that strengthens us to assure us that we have a great victory through His blood. Remember this when you feel at your weakest, in despair, when you have no answers and the Philistines are attacking. A sacrifice was raised, and the Lord has promised that all who look to Jesus Christ in repentance and godly sorrow, in true faith, believing the promises of the gospel, lamenting after the Lord. What does the Lord promise? You will be delivered from all of your sins. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. We ask humbly both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, or you can donate online, agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.